is intended for a mature audience.
Give me a J!
J!
Give me an E!
E!
Give me a T!
T!
Give me an H!
H!
Give me an A!
A!
Give me an L!
L!
What's it spell?
Juggle!
One more time!
Juggle!
I can't hear you!
Juggle!
Ago, in a galaxy far, far away, God said,
"What are they talking
about?"
Oh, look, singing
jukebox.
It was kind of cute.
Michael Randy was ill the day the Earth stood still, but he told us where we stand
on our feet.
And Flash Gordon was there in silver underwear. Todd Raines was the invisible man.
I don't see that either.
Then something went wrong for Faye Ray and King Kong. They got caught in a celluloid jam. Then at a deadly pace, it came from outer space. And this is how the message ran. Science fiction double feature. Dr. X, we'll build a creature. Leo G. Carroll was over a barrel when Tarantula took to the hills. And I really got hot when I saw Jeanette Scott fight a triffid that spits poison and kills. Dana Andrews said prunes gave him the
shits,
and passing them used lots of skills. But when worlds collide, said George Powell to his bride, "I'm gonna give you some terrible thrills." Science fiction double feature. Picture show, I wanna go home. Oh, to the late night double feature picture show.
Why are you?
Picture show, in the back row.
Clap the back row!
To the late night double feature picture show.
Hello, everyone. This is the Jethel's Horror Silverwing Show. For 2009, this is October 27th. I am your host, Jethel Silverwing. With me, as always, my love, my wife, my girl, the burning of my loyalty, the baker of cookies, the tailor of fine armors, and the girl downstairs. And the reason we have a mature audience warning at the top of the show is Elfman Jenna!
Hail and greetings.
How are you doing today, Elfman?
Good.
Good. Glad to hear it. As a friendly reminder, if you want to join in on the mayhem, you can hop onto our in-game chat channel. That's /join GUK.OGR, which is up and running 24/7. It's where the OGR elite come to meet. If you'd like to download any of our skits, interviews, Jethel's parodies, etc., you can get them at kithacore.org. All right. So you're doing okay there, Olga?
Yep. I'm off doing the haunted maze yet again.
How many times did I make for you?
I don't know. I'm just can't get enough of it, you know, between the... I'm saving up Sparkies. Sparklies.
Sparklies?
Yeah, the collectibles.
Yeah, they seem to... they sell well for you on the broker.
Well, no, I'm hanging on to them. I mean, you turn them in and you get that, bone-encrusted divider that's really cool.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, and I figure, well, if you use them in a room, you need at least four or something, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I got a Raven plushie this time. It's about time.
All right. This week, this is the Jethel Horror Silvering Show. We're going to be talking about Rocky Horror Picture Show. Of course, it's, for some odd reason, it's you know, this time of year is great for it. And we're also going to be talking about the burial rituals of different races of Norrath. Why not? Someone's got to talk about this stuff. And joining us is High Elf Extraordinaire, Rainmare.
Hello.
Hello there, Rainmare. And Dark Elf, Hate-Filled, Sexy People, Caloria and Credeldic.
Hello.
Credeldic, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay, there we go. So we're going to be talking all about Rocky Horror and about burial rituals and With the Halloween weekend coming up, of course. Okay, so since the Dark Elves kind of outnumber us here, we'll start with the Dark Elves. What is the Dark Elf burial ritual? What do they go through?
Well, I told you everything we had to tell you.
Well, we'll try to avoid that, but give us the basics.
The ritual itself, usually it's whatever service you can offer based off of your life. And also it was based off of caste. Basically, if you were rich or in service to the city or cities themselves, you had a different burial right versus the commoner.
Mm.
The only real example of it in game that you can find is the Vault of the Fallen.
Yes, for people making comments in the channel, I'm trying to get her volume up. I'm up as high as I can possibly get. Is there any way you can turn up your mic volume just quite a bit more, actually?
I can try to talk louder into it.
All right. Okay, so yes, that is better. Okay, so if you're low man on the totem pole, you're pretty much going to get thrown in a ditch. Is that pretty much it?
We figure, yeah, that or probably offered for necromancers for their experiments.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Some of the higher ranking castes in Nuriak and the other Dark Elf cities of the Underfoot, the dead, the necromancers, and the Church of Interim are pretty much the ruling class, so the low man on the totem pole, as you say, it's pretty much fair game for them to do whatever they want with.
and the nobles and stuff, what, they get pyre funerals where they're burned crackle, 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 or entombed.
Actually, very often their ashes will be put into the vaults, which of course are mostly secret locations except for the Vault of the Fallen.
Depending on the level of honor bestowed upon the dead, their skulls could be mounted above their ashes as well, and for people to come view.
All right, sounds pretty cool. Graves kept secret for the most part, or are there
the locations of the actual burial vaults are kept secret, and the higher ranking the nobility, the more secret the location.
Gotcha. Anything else you can tell about the burials there, or is anything else pretty much, you know, going to get us all killed?
Become a dark elf, learn yourself.
Oh. Which you can actually
do. Yeah, we just can't
now.
Tell you where they are.
Which you can do now with the new race change potions.
It's true.
And I'm actually thinking of taking and doing that for my lore.
You can now do in 30 seconds what it took Inaruk 300 years to do.
That's because Inaruk's a pussy. Oh, did I say that with dark elves around?
Do it, Aquajenna. You know he has a thing for dark elf girls.
I know. Well, the thing is, I just don't want to buy it and use it. I want to, build up the story to the crescendo. I mean, she's been fighting this for majority of her life anyway, you know?
Right.
So is she going to turn?
Will she succumb to the dark side?
Will it finally take over? That sort of thing.
Yeah, I'm actually looking here. Where is the... What is this? I'm looking for
the potion?
Yeah, the potion. I don't see it.
It's way at the bottom.
I'm seeing Amnesia, which is the name change. Witness Protection, which is the name change and the gender change. I don't see it.
It's way at the bottom. It's $25. It's right next to the token of... that you buy.
It's under services. It's under services, sorry.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so it's $25. One-time use potion, and I have checked with our sources at Sony, and you can buy multiple, so if you figure out, well, I don't like being a dark elf, maybe I ought to change to something else, you can buy another one and do it again, but it's going to cost you another $25.
There's a lot of people are upset about the racial changes. And, because a lot of people pick their character's race because of their abilities, innate abilities. And, of course, that got changed. And now they're offering the potion for $25, and a lot of people feel like they're being pushed into this in order to play the character that they want. They'll have to change race, and it's going to cost them. So that's a good feeling on the board.
Yeah, let's be clear about this. It's just changing your race. This is not changing your alignment, not changing your factions.
No.
So if you're changing to a dark elf, hoping to just walk into Nariak, it ain't gonna happen.
No, you'll still be. If you're Kinos, you'll stay Kinos. If you're Freeport, you stay Freeport.
Mm-hmm. And of course, Gorowin.
So forth and so on.
Right. All right, now with that out of the way, let's turn to Rainmare, and we'll talk about the High Elf burials. Rainmare, what can you tell us about the High Elf burials?
High Elf burials are, for the most part, very simple. You're offered to Tunair. You're buried, usually shrouded, in the ground for the lower people on the totem pole anyway. The higher-ups, your nobility, your heroes, they're entombed, and we do have sarcophagi for them. And on, as you can see in New Teneria, if you go there on display, certain heroes, if you're prominent enough, your armor, your weapons, provided that you don't bequeath them to your descendants, are put on display, like a museum. But other than that, we don't run too much out of the ordinary. We don't go through a whole bunch of rituals. We don't sacrifice you. We don't send you off to be resurrected by necromancers to use as pets.
Well, see, I don't call that being resurrected anyway. I call that being, you know...
Recycle, reuse.
Recycle. that's not being resurrected. Someone gets resurrected, you know, they pretty much take over where they left off, as far as I'm concerned. But if you're being resurrected as to be used as a pet, you're being recycled.
Well, think about it. Well, since we have some Cheer Doll here, most of the Cheer Doll, if you've been to Neriac, there are Cheer Doll that are resurrected, and basically they do take up right where they left off. They're just skeletal or zombie-like now. I believe there's a teacher in Neriac, isn't there, that likes to incinerate his students?
Hmm.
And
yes.
He's a skeleton?
Yes.
He's fun to watch.
But we keep things relatively simple. It's kept elegant and simple, just none of the elaborations and stuff like that.
So you're not, like, thrown into a bag and tossed into the river or anything like that?
No, thrown in the bag. Well, I guess maybe if you had some Tear Doll ancestry in there somewhere, we might just throw you in the river, but for the most it's kept relatively simple.
So if they have Tear Doll on them, do they float?
I hope not. Hope they stink.
Okay, now. There's one, you know, that's funny. When you look at the graveyards in Freeport, okay, you have these ruined graveyards outside of Freeport, with in-ground burials with a few, I think they have like one mausoleum type thing up above ground. Then you go into the graveyard and you have all these crypts and stuff, but instead of Freeportians in those crypts, you've got the Knights of Mar in those crypts. Which I thought was kind of interesting.
I do find that interesting.
That's because Slaveport used to be under the control of the humans.
Well, no, they imprisoned their bodies in these crypts to keep them from rising again. There's a whole quest line that you can do in the graveyard that explains that and why they're there. But I always thought it was interesting.
Right, but the Knights of Mar used to be based out of Freeport as well.
Yeah.
Yep.
Not anymore, not since someone decided to just walk up to an Avatar's corpse and go, "Oh, look, here's a flaming sword. I'm not going to work for it. I'm just going to pay. Look, everyone, I have defeated the Avatar." No, you didn't. Shut up.
Yeah, that's not the way it worked.
Luke and the Jackass. All right.
But when you look at Kinos, there's the whole crypt underneath the city. Yes, you go.
Yeah. Catacombs.
You go, yeah, the catacombs down below.
Oh, that's right.
I mean, if you've never been down to the catacombs, I think everybody has, unless you've totally skipped content. It's worth the trip down. All the sarcophagi and the it looked like they almost mummified people in their crypts down there. I mean, they're on top of the crypts. It's creepy. They've got jars there where, you know, there's ashes in them, I'm sure. And of course, the undead are roaming around. I guess you can't have any sort of graveyard without the undead waking up.
That's just a shoddy word the humans are known for.
But there's a book you can get, and let's see, which one is it? Cleaning with the Crypt Keeper. And it goes into it. There's a family that takes care of the crypts in Kinos, and the whole storyline is in the book, explains the different tasks they do down there. And we did a post on the forums in the lower area where I was looking for people who would be experts on the dead, and Shadow Wolf posted one of the snippets from the Cleaning of the Crypt Keeper, discussing how folks were dressed in their finest duds and laid out to rest in proper coffins. When things got a bit hectic around the War of the Plagues, there were a lot of dead folks, and some had no kin to bury in them. That, with the disease running rampant through Kinos, the crypt keeper of the time decided it would be safer to burn up the bodies and put their ashes in little urns. So,
the humans are cremation.
Mm-hmm. And there's little plaques down there explaining. So the majority of them have plaques down there. Saying who's in what urn. There's another book called Guide to Collecting Crypt Plates. And the plates were used to identify the tombs and coffins and sarcophagi of the deceased. They were made of metal and usually something soft like tin or brass, providing some basic information such as the name and lineage of the person. In the most ancient of times, these plates were used only by the wealthy. So if so many modern conveniences in Norath, however, many folks are making and using them. In the age of turmoil, only the titled and the wealthy could afford these ornate plates. Normal folks would have to use thin wooden tablets, which of course disintegrated over time. Let's see what else.
It was their version of a tombstone for the crypts.
Mm-hmm.
Catacombs.
So there's two excellent books you can get, and at least start in on those. They explain a little bit about the dead and how they were handled.
Because I know, like to be buried standing up.
Yeah, that's
from. You find that out in this book too.
That's from a book called. Collection of Epitaphs. And basically, it's a collection of epitaphs for different dead people. it's interesting to read. And it says, of humans and halflings, humans and halflings may seem an odd combination for burial groupings, but it provided me a very practical choice. Humans preferred to be interred horizontally, while the halflings seemed to prefer a vertical burial. That allowed for placement of tombs in a very close proximity without wasted space. So I guess it's a layer of human and a bunch of halflings followed by a layer of human. Sorry. I'm just telling you. How many halflings can you stack standing up across a human? That's what I want to know.
It's a freaking corpse club sandwich. Do they put giant olives with toothpicks?
I don't know. They didn't say that, but yeah, I could just see that. Yeah. Whoop, dee, 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 dee. Whoop, dee, 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 dee. Okay. That's just really wrong. And it says...
It's stick Catholic on there.
And it says of elves and half-elves, elves buried beneath Kinos often fell in battle of its defense and the residents of the town in the early days, which goes to back to what Jethel says. He believes that elves do not die of old age. They die in battle. Let's see. While they generally shun the half-elven in life, the choice of burying them together was pure practicality. There were fewer elves being buried, and the humans refused to have half-elves buried among them. So they moved all the half-elven tombs to the section reserved for the elves. So they shoved them in with us somewhere down there. Of barbarians and dwarves. Barbarians and dwarves formed an alliance as they came to the City of Men. Both enjoyed hearty meals and gaudy entertainment. After the destruction of the northern lands... The dwarves joked that the barbarians could be buried alongside them if there be any reason to bury a dwarf. The comment had been made in jest, but with so much upheaval in the lands, it was inevitable that many of the races from Norath would perish, so they shoved the barbarians and the dwarves together. So there's three books, Collection of Epitaphs, Collecting Crypt Plates, and Cleaning with the Crypt Keeper, which I thought was the funnest one to do. And then, of course, the oops factor. I don't remember. I'd have to go home and read it. the old cookbook just goes into how to prepare different races, not burying them.
Now, I think we can all agree that trolls just dine on their dead.
Yeah.
That is established Norathian lore from way back, and I can picture a troll burial. I really can. Be like, you know, the friends and family of the troll gather around. Oh, Clark was such a good man. A little more hot sauce.
And we're like, he was them good guy. He tastes good too.
Him was good. Ranch, need more ranch.
Now, you guys were saying there was another race that actually says that they go when they die. They when their death will feed other of their kind.
The Dizok do when you kill them.
Hmm.
They say that their remains will go to feed or heal their allies. Like, you know, they're donated as food or transplants, whichever one works.
Now the Dizdok, those are the ones that are in Chardok, right?
Yeah, those are the ones in Chardok. Which begs the question that if the Dizdok do it that way, and the Gorowin Sarnak are directly descended from them, I wonder if the Gorowin Sarnak eat their own too.
I would just kind of be really cautious going over to one of their houses for dinner if one of their relatives just died. Really, just be wary when you're invited to a big barbecue or something. Hey, come on over! We're having a big barbecue this weekend! We're going to have more than enough to eat!
Not any worse than eating Eddie.
Well, yeah, Eddie. Poor Eddie. He goes good with ketchup, though, I've heard.
Really hate celery. I fucking hate celery.
So what other races are there? What about gnomes? What do we know about gnomes, guys? What would we speculate would happen to gnomes? You think they would be buried in a clockwork or something?
I would imagine that the gnomes probably get ground up by a bunch of gears and turned into oil.
Oil.
Gnome grease.
Yep.
Gnome grease. Well, there is gnome sandwiches, and I know it's made with gnome, not made by gnomes.
Oh, I'm sorry, I misspoke. That would be how they die. Okay.
I would speculate that the Tyrdal that killed them would raise them as necromancer pets, just like everyone. The Dark Reflection probably did that too. Meldrath and his ilk probably just resurrected them.
They're saying gnome pickles.
That's what the ogres do to them.
Now, of course, you got to be careful because we're upsetting Santania, and she's just going to come over here and start kicking us in the shins.
I got plate armor on. I don't have to worry about being kicked in the shin.
Likewise.
Okay, what about...
Well, you said ogres. What about them? What do you think?
I think they probably leave their dead wherever the heck they happen to die. I mean, Clerg was one of their famous members, and he's sitting in a pile of bones in the bottom of the lake he died in.
Well, that's because they can't swim. You know, I'd love to get those bones to bury them properly, but damned if I'm gonna get it.
So you think ogres leave their dead where... I mean, not ogres. Yeah, ogres. Leave their dead where they die? And...
I think they can leave them where they died, yeah.
Well, you know, it could be the same thing as old battleships. They become habitats for other small creatures. Giant rat habitat or something like that.
That could work. And also explain the Faroe where, you know, the fallen city that the Rylosians had before the Green Mist to get their last remaining city, it's nothing but undead skeletons. They probably just left the bodies wherever they happened to die.
Well, what about the bald guys?
I never can
say their name right. They're bald. They think they're better than everybody else because they
have
Erdite.
Oh, humans. Those children. Not humans.
Erdites. Erudites?
Yeah, I just call them humans.
They're not humans, per se. I mean...
They're void types.
Humans wouldn't even take them in.
Okay, I'm being informed that Kaloria and Kredeldic need to take off. Is this true?
Unfortunately, yes. We cannot stay too late. We have to go.
Okay, well, I thank you very much for coming by. And sharing your massive dark elf wisdom with us and your burial rituals. And we'll have to explore those secrets more deeply and hope we don't get killed in the process.
Thank you very much for having us, as always. Have a great night, everyone.
You too. Okay.
Yes, good night, everyone.
You
have
too.
A good time.
Good night.
And then there was one.
You chased him off.
That's all right. We'll talk bad about him after.
They're probably off to go watch Scream. Movie Awards 2009.
Although I'm surprised for the barbarians, they don't get like cremated. I think the old funeral pyre would be a big thing with them.
Yeah, burial by sea, you know.
I
put
would
them
imagine
in a boat,
so.
Set it on fire, put it on a lake, you know. I don't know.
Okay, I am getting words of wisdom from Saya. Saya Mies, that is, a very well-respected Karen on the Plutonian Bale server.
Yeah, I was going to ask about Karens.
Who suggests that there is no evidence of undead Kara anywhere in Norrath.
That's true.
So, it would seem logical that perhaps they get cremation rituals.
Do that, or Karens don't die.
They do die.
Oh, they die.
But you've never seen a dead Karen.
Actually, there were undead Karen on the moon. On Lucklin.
There was?
There was? Yeah,
there
I don't remember seeing undead Kara up there. I could be wrong.
It's one of those places that's got the, those little black guys. Little brainy-looking critters.
Okay.
God, I don't even remember those.
I remember the brainy-looking critters, but I don't remember Undead Kara.
Well, those aren't Karen.
Those
were
Valshir.
Valshir. That's totally
Valshir.
I mean, they're from the same family, sort of, but they evolved different.
Right, so...
They're the ancestors, but... Yeah.
So, you know, different... different culture, different, but currently in Norrath there doesn't seem to be any undead Kara. So we will assume cremation rituals to honor the ancestors, casting ashes to the wind.
And that would stop the undead. I mean, you know, with all the undead in Norrath and stuff, I mean, I think people need to either bury their dead deeper or cremate them. I mean, every time you turn around, you're walking into undead somewhere. Zombies, skeletons.
Well, usually that's a magical mishap, though. There's always something around there that was some kind of magical experiment, or some necromancer was there, or...
I mean, I know that's how Krema got Fred. She went over to, I think, one of the Turmoil Cemetery, just started digging and found Fred and took him home and... Well...
Did things to him. Things
well,
that should not be named. let's see. Ozrock is telling me that froglugs cremate their dead on funeral pyres.
You find that out in Guk, actually.
Yes.
If you do the quest lines in Guk, they do that. They have you burn them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So thank you for the information there, Ozrock. And we're going to take a little break here to continue on with the Rocky Horror music. We'll be back in about 10 minutes. Coming up next, of course, is The Time Warp and Dwarven Sweet Transvestite. We'll be back in about 10 minutes.
It's astounding. Time is fleeting. Madness takes its toll, but listen closely.
Not for very much longer.
I've got to keep control.
I remember doing the time warp. those moments when the blackness would hit me and the void would be coming. That's new time warp again. Let's do the time warp again.
Oh, it's just a jump to the left.
And then a step to the right.
Put your hands on your hips.
You're breaking me.
Dreamy, oh fantasy, free me. So you can't see me, no, not at all. In another dimension, with voyeuristic intentions, well secluded, I see all.
With a bit of a mind flip,
you're into a time slip,
and nothing can ever be the same.
You're spaced out on sensation,
like you're under sedation. Let's do the time warp again. Let's do the time warp again.
Well, I was walking down the street just to have it to think, when a snake of a guy gave me an evil wink. He shook me up, he took me by surprise. He had a pickup truck.
Put your hands on your hips.
You bring your knees in tight. Right as the pelting cry. But really glad you win, say yay, 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 yay. Let's do the time warp again. Let's do the time warp again.
How did you say you've met my faithful handyman? He's just a little brought down because when you knocked, he thought you were the candyman. Don't get strung out by the way I look. Don't judge a book by its cover. I'm not much of a dwarf by the light of day, but I'm not on one hell of a lover. I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania. Let me show you around and maybe play with sound. You look like you're both pretty groovy. If you want something visual that's not too abysmal, we could take in an old Steve Reeves movie.
I'm glad we caught you at home. Can we use your phone? We're both in a bit of a hurry.
Right.
We'll just say where we are, then head back to the car.
A pleasure to meet you, Dr. Doofu.
We don't want to be any worry.
Well, you got caught with a flat. Well, how about that? Well, babies, don't you panic. By the light of the night, it'll all seem all right. I'll get you a nomadic mechanic. I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania. Why don't you stay for the night? Or maybe a bite? I could show you my favorite obsession. I've been making a mouse. He's out there cleaning the house. He's good for even my tension. I'm just a sweet transvestite.
from transsexual Transylvania. Ha ha, hit it, hit it! I'm just a sweet transvestite.
Sweet transvestite.
Come up to the lab and see what's on the slab. I see a shiver with anticipation. But maybe the rain ain't really to blame. So I'll remove the cause. But not the symptom.
Okay, and we're back. While we were on break, Ozrock elaborated on Ratonga burials. He says here that Ratongas used to bury their dead in the burrows where they lived, but not quite sure how it's changed since they've moved into buildings. I would imagine they wouldn't bury them in the same building where they live.
No, but they may bury them underneath somewhere.
I suppose.
It does sound reasonable. Of course, their old ways basically sound like they took you in your home and they just locked your home up and said, okay, you're dead now.
Yeah, I can see it now. Here, Mr. Landlord, here's your key back. We gotta go now. Bye! Landlord goes to rent out the house the next week. Oh, God, what died in it? Oh!
Yeah. We have to rent that to get a Chinese first, though.
Okay, getting a question, how do you tune in? Well, you just go to onlinegamingradio.com and click Listen Live. That's how you do it.
And if they can't tune in, they can't hear you saying that.
Well, fine, be that way. God, you people are picky.
No. It's just, you know.
Don't try to confuse me with your common sense.
It's true! I can't help it, I didn't make the rules!
Okay, well, I have compiled a Where Are They Now? For the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Oh, really?
A brief Where Are They Now? And we'll start at the top of the list. Dr. Frank Enfurter himself, Tim Curry, is 63 years old. He is still acting and has over 50 movies and television roles in his repertoire. Janet Weiss, Susan Sarandon, has to have the best career after Rocky Horror Picture Show. She's 63 years old. She's still acting. She has 70 movie roles under her belt. 70. Brad Majors, Barry Bostwick, is 64 years old. He still acts. He has 16 movies and a dozen television roles. The most recent one, he was in the Hannah Montana movie, apparently.
Really?
Yep. You can find all that out at internetmoviedatabase.com or go to Wikipedia and look up Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Oh, I'm being told I need to be louder. There we go.
Let's see. We'll move right on to Riff Raff. Richard O'Brien, 67 years old. He's still acting. He's done more British stage and TV than anything else, but he has about a dozen movies under his belt. I think the most recent one was Elvira's Haunted Hills. But he was also in can't really call it a horror movie. It's kind of sci-fi, I guess. Dark City.
He was Mr. Hand. Mr. Hand, yes.
And, let's see, Magenta, Patricia Quinn, 65 years old, no longer acting. She hasn't acted in about 10, 15 years. Most recently, she's DJing, actually, in London.
63, DJing?
Yeah. Her history said that she's a DJ in London. Not a radio DJ. She's doing, like, clubs and stuff like that. So that's kind of cool at 67 years old, I guess. I was 65 years old. I guess her most recent public appearance was at the 25th anniversary of the Rocky Horror Picture Show. She actually came out and did Science Fiction Double Feature live on the stage.
Wow.
And no one except the director of the production knew she was coming. So it was total surprise. All right. Nell Campbell, who played Columbia, is actually the youngest person who was in the movie, actually. She's 56 years old now, no longer acting. She has about 24 movie and theater roles, mostly theater, though. Probably the most disappointing career after the Rocky Horror Picture Show was Rocky himself. Peter Hinwood was trying to break into movies with the Rocky Horror Picture Show. And playing a transvestite's plaything in the 70s...
Didn't go over too well.
Did not go over too well at all. He got, like, no roles after that. Peter Hinwood is 63 years old and is now an antiques dealer in London. Meatloaf, who played Eddie, 62 years old. He's continuing to perform on stage in movies and in television commercials. He's very active. So, congratulations, Meatloaf.
He was recently on Ghost Hunters.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah, he was on Ghost Hunters. God, what movie was he in recently that didn't look like him at all? Yeah. Oh, well.
I know he was on Monk.
He was on Monk?
Yeah, he was on Monk, too.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
A show called Monk. All right. Yeah.
Dr. Everett Scott, ex-tutor, our friend, both of them. Jonathan Adams died in 2005 at the age of 74. Apparently, he did a number of British TV roles during his life. Died shortly after a skit on a British comedy show. The criminal.
Did the skit kill him?
What's that?
Did the skit kill him?
No, he died of a stroke.
No.
Died of a stroke.
The
criminologist Charles Gray died in 2000 at the age of 71. Had a good number of British television and theater roles, and even provided the voice for an actor who lost his voice box to cancer.
Who was that?
Charles Gray. He was actually the arch nemesis of Agent 007 in... Oh, God, I didn't write down which one he was. Let's see here. He was... Come on.
Was it one of the new ones or one of the really old ones?
It'd be one of the old ones. I know which one it is. I just can't get it out. Come on. Anyway, and that's pretty much it for the main characters there. So that's where they are. Where are they now? Just taking a good look here for find that information. Gotta hate that. Okay, Charles Gray. He was in You Only Live Twice.
Ah. And he did the voice for the villain.
No, he did He regularly provided the voice for Jack Hawkins, who had his voice box removed to throat cancer, since the two had similar voices. And that was in Theater of Blood. Theater of Blood. And of course, he was one of the few people from the original film who decided to disgrace themselves by going into the not quite a sequel to the Rocky Horror Picture Show called Shock Treatment.
Never even heard of it.
You've never heard of Shock Treatment?
Never heard of Shock Treatment.
It's bad. It's so bad.
It sounds like it's a good thing I never heard of Shock Treatment.
Richard O'Brien should be ashamed of himself.
Yeah.
But it was not billed as a sequel to the Rocky Horror Show.
No.
It was kind of just Rocky-esque.
They were trying to create another cult film.
Yeah, and it didn't quite.
Oh, well.
Although the music in it's not bad. Mm.
Now, wait a minute. Actually, Charles Gray has been in a couple of James Bond's films, actually. Let's see. He was English Agent Henderson in You Only Live Twice. And then he was Ernest Sarvo Blofeld in Diamonds Are Forever.
Was that a good guy or a bad guy?
I have no idea. I can't say I've ever seen
Sounds almost like a bad guy's name.
Sounds like it. I've actually never seen any of the James Bond films in their entirety. Just not my thing.
I've only watched a couple of them myself.
Not into that. I mean, the gadgets are kind of cool, but I'm just not into the spy thing it is. Okay, so what else we got for
things?
Oh, mention this on kithacore.org. I have an article up that I want people to comment on. Monty and I, Monty from Online Gaming Radio, and I were talking today about who do you think would make a good, a modern cast of the Rocky Horror Picture Show? What star or singer would you like to see playing the main roles?
Oh, I thought about that the other day. I don't know.
So I have that up over at kithacore.org. Right now it's the top post, and I actually have it stickied, so it's going to remain the top post for a while. And Monty and myself have entered our suggestions. I don't know some of Monty's, but for mine, I put in for Dr. Frank, Eddie Izzard.
I think he's too old for the role.
Yeah, so what? Janet Weiss, I was thinking Drew Barrymore. Brad Majors, maybe Neil Patrick Harris. Riff Raff, Marilyn Manson.
Yeah, he could probably do that.
That's a good one.
I can see him pulling that off. Magenta, I was thinking maybe Kelly Osbourne, but I do like Monty's suggestion better. I completely forgot about Helena Bonham Carter.
Yeah, she would make a good
Magenta. She would make a good Magenta. I picked Pink for Columbia. I think Jack Black might be a good Eddie.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I could see that, possibly.
Yeah. I definitely could see Jack Black as Eddie.
Rocky Horror, maybe Daniel Radcliffe. Dr. Scott, Anthony Head. And the Criminologist, I was thinking John Cleese. There's no singing involved in his part.
He could do it.
I think he might be able to do it. Monty had recommended maybe for the Criminologist Barry Bostwick. Just a throwback to the original, you know?
Yeah.
He wanted Vin Diesel as Rocky Horror.
No, are you serious?
Vin is far too old to be doing that. He was thinking Kid Rock for...
It'd be interesting, though.
Kid Rock for Riff Raff. Maybe. I could see that, maybe. Ewan McGregor for Brad Majors. He wanted to see Neil Patrick Harris as Dr. Frank. I don't know.
No. I can't think of anybody who could take that part.
Yeah.
They would have to probably find an unknown. And of course, you know, nobody would be able to watch it without comparing it to the original. They would have to...
If they wanted to remake it, they'd have to put on one hell of a show.
Yeah. But that's not... I mean, the whole thing about Rocky Horror is not necessarily the show itself. It's the participation.
Right. I mean, the movie itself is kind of boring. But the community and the participation is what makes it fun. Yeah, I have been asked to make an announcement. Just a quick note. Now I've lost it. Scroll up here. Just a quick note that we're having a Night of the Dead party at the Maiden's Fancy. Thursday, 9 p.m. Eastern in the Nariac T1 Guild Hall.
The Night of the Dead party in the Tyrdal home city.
Yes. At the Maiden's Fancy. And everyone's invited to come down. If you can't get to the hall itself, then I believe they're providing someone who can call of the hero you over. Yes, that is a verb now at this point. Call of the hero is now a verb.
Yep. Or tinker. Tinker to you.
Exactly. So. And apparently Skyanna is telling us that In a Nutshell is having a Night of the Dead party tomorrow night. That is in Kelethan. And she has
and much safer.
Yeah, that is probably much safer for people. And Skyanna has not mentioned a time! Time! There we go. 8 p.m. Eastern.
If you go to the Maiden Fancy Party, though, and you see any tear doll dressed in black robes, avoid them.
Yes. And, just to elaborate on some of the things that people are saying for the possible modern cast, we are not going to have Randy Orton as Rocky Horror.
No.
Because you know exactly what he'll do. He'll start bopping around, dancing and stuff, and then he'll RKO everyone. And then try to kick them in the head.
Yeah, no good.
So, no Randy Orton as friggin' Rocky Horror. And then he'll go on and on how he should be Frank. And he deserves it. What a pussy. That's one thing you can say. That you can definitely say about the character of Frankenfurter. Transvestite or not, not a pussy.
No. Now you guys know where the Night of the Dead started from, right? You know why we have it.
Why?
What happened in Mars Jewel?
A bunch of undead swarmed the city looking for shit.
Yeah.
Didn't hurt nobody, didn't bother anybody except for people that came up against them and tried to destroy them. And
they
then all of a sudden, for no reason, they just left.
Uh-huh.
They all got up and left.
And then?
And since then, they've kind of brought it up as like a participation thing. They celebrate the idea of them and probably trying to figure out what the hell they were looking for.
Well, the kids, really, it started with the kids. You know, the kids weren't afraid of the undead. They would just kind of shuffle in and they never really bothered anybody. They were looking for things. They kept putting stuff out for them. They wouldn't bar their way into their homes or nothing. They would just let them come in and wander around and, you know, be undead. And I think that went on for a couple weeks. And then it stopped, and the kids got the bright idea of dressing up like the undead and going around to everybody's home and getting all the sweets and the candies and apples and things that people were leaving out for the dead to try and appease them. And then the adults caught on, and, well, it took off after that. They thought it was amusing. They got in trouble for it, too, I think, at the beginning.
Clever little kid.
Well, it never frightened them.
Let's see, the undead come and get snacks. If we dress up like the undead, we can just walk into people's houses and get snacks, too.
Ding, exactly. Bingo, and that's what they did. And it just went on from there, and we, of course, picked up the tradition in the rest of Norath and started celebrating it.
All the dead fucking live! Drive a stake up his ass!
I guess the wrong part of the anatomy for that one.
Sorry, that's an old Sam Kennison routine.
And then you'll have dead on a steak.
You know, Jesus is the only person ever came back from the dead where people didn't go, "Oh, the dead fucking live!" I love this kid.
So what races haven't we covered yet? We've gotten, well, the elves, high elves, half elves, wood elves. We've gotten dark elves. We've gotten humans, dwarves, halflings,
barbarians,
gnomes, Ratongas, Sarnax.
Ixar.
Ixar.
We haven't covered Ixar.
What do you think the lizards do?
If I recycle.
Remember, there's a lot of undead Ixar.
Well, definitely not.
They didn't burn them. That's for sure.
Recycle.
I guess so.
You notice that most of the undead is in the places. They're there to guard things. They're brought up as timeless warriors to protect whatever the hell it is they're put into.
They're definitely restless dead when they die.
Like all of the new zone out there, the Anatheum. They tell you in the story of the Anatheum that basically Veneral sealed off the whole city and everybody in it, made them all undead, and their job is if anybody gets in here, you kill them. They were designed to be protectors.
And the Kirin we already touched on too.
Yeah, Lyra is saying that the dead Kara are promptly eaten by Ratongas.
Yeah, right. One Kirin would feed a family of 10 Ratongas for a month. Come on.
Okay, Yuzrok is giving me more words of wisdom here. Ixar, bury their dead in crypts. High-ranking Ixar are buried in crypts, and the rest were thrown to the Kokidai? No, they're little...
Chokidai?
Yeah. They're lizard dogs. Or the necromancers. But they are buried in crypts.
Hmm.
The high-ranking ones, that is.
Well, they're very similar to the Tyrdal.
Mm-hmm. And,
high-ranking.
Of course, trolls have a giant barbecue. Oh, poor Uncle Blog. He tastes better in death than he did in life.
What about the Arasais and the Fae? Do they just turn into little seed pods again?
Yeah. They die and they become spirit buds.
So they are the true recyclers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, they don't recycle their bodies, they recycle their spirits.
Yeah. Right, the bodies, little spirit buds.
They probably just bury the bodies.
Well, you know, they're so small, they probably just kind of decompose really, really fast.
Just blow away like little dust.
Yeah.
Did we forget anybody?
Let me look at the race list. I don't think we did.
Got kitties and Ratongas and dark elves and ogres and trolls. And froggies. All right, so froggy zone. There's so many of us, I keep losing track. And he's going over the list. He's checking it twice.
I don't think we missed anyone. I think that's it.
Yep.
So, what have we learned from today's show? You're all going to die. Some of you are going to be used for kindling. Some of you are going to be used as necromantic pets. Some of you are going to be used for food. Some of you may even be used as fertilizer. And some of you unfortunate people may wind up in some weird guy's bed.
Or pickles.
Pickles! Well, that's why I said food.
So. All right.
I said food.
Well, it's different. I mean, pickles take preparation. Being food just means you get munched on.
I can't see fey pickles. I'm seeing...
There is fey pickles.
No, I'm seeing deep-fried fey. Because, you know, you can batter them and deep-fry the whole thing because it's so small.
Fey wings.
And the wings are crunchy.
Okay. I have a special treat for our guest this week.
We do?
Yeah. Yes. You don't even know about this one.
You be keeping things from me?
I have.
Only because I did it right before work and I forgot to tell you about it during the day. We normally have the Cowapult.
Yes.
Because this is the week of the Night of the Dead, we have the Scarecrowapult.
A Scarecrow?
Yes, the Scarecrowapult. Where we're going to launch a scarecrow at someone, and when they land, their melon heads are probably going to crack and spew seeds all over the place. So, who would you like to fire the Scarecrowapult at?
Winterheart on the Oasis server.
Winterheart on the Oasis server. All right. Rear it back. And let her go!
Fire!
Ow!
Or is it fighting?
You missed. Landed right on Lyra. Poor Lyra.
That's how she got her pumpkin helm mask.
Yeah, we thought it was a mask. Alright, let's try it again. Let's try it again. Just because I really like this new scarecrow bolt. Okay, so rear it back. And let it go!
Fire!
I love that. You two can't hear this, but it's friggin' fun. Just here. the scarecrow. Sound effects.
Ow! That's why I love killing scarecrows. Just before they die, they go, ow!
I don't know. When EQ won, I almost didn't want to kill them. They're screaming!
I know, they were terrible. They were screaming. They were different screams.
You hit? No, actually, they're using the same one for EQ1 as you did in EQ2.
Really?
They did for EQ1. The exact same thing.
Maybe I've just been become jaded to it.
No, it's one of the few NPC races where they actually kept the original sound effect. But I just, you know, you're going around. I had some kind of a quest in EverQuest 1. To kill scarecrows, and every time you hit one, it's ow, ow, ow. It's like, oh, come on.
Yeah, I end up feeling really bad.
They're hurting.
I'd still kill them.
You know, another favorite thing I like about this time of year.
What's that?
Is the mobs that drop candy that you can use to craft with. Yeah. But it's more than that. It's the it's like. Which mobs rob what candy? Okay, like worms. Gummy worms come from zombies. Okay, that's just sort of sick and wrong. And, and how werewolves or how wolves got a hold of cupcakes, I'll never know. And then they say wiggly things have caramels. I guess the little buggy type things that crawl or something.
Cubes? Cubes have caramel?
No, cubes. Cubes have candy corn.
Why do the cubes have candy corn?
No, maybe they got it from the flesh feeders because they got candy corn too.
Weird.
I don't know. And I don't know if I'd really want to eat a gumdrop from a bat because it may not be a real gumdrop. You know what I mean?
Want to?
Mm-hmm. And you,
the vampire's about chewing gum.
And the creatures I like to kill, what I call a sperm with teeth, they drop taffy.
The gnashers.
They drop taffy. Why are they got taffy?
I think everybody calls those things sperm.
I don't know.
Gargoyles have jaw breakers. Now, that I can understand because they're, you know, usually made of stone. and you got marshmallows coming off of ghosties, which is okay.
Okay, I can picture that one.
And ghouls, I guess they're related to zombies. They got worms, gummy worms. Goblins, they've got chocolate buttons. They're green and round and I don't know.
The green chocolate buttons that make you smile.
I guess so. But my favorite is the nutty chocolate bars, but they only come off of golems. And then
there's
the,
two versions of those two. There's nutty and then there's chocolate bars.
Who's got the chocolate bars? Oh yeah, scorpions. Now why do scorpions have chocolate bars?
I have no idea.
Because?
I don't
For the same reason I can't figure out why wolves have peanut brittle.
Yeah, no, skeletons have peanut brittle.
What was it the wolves had then? Licorice?
The wolves have cupcakes, and werewolves have cupcakes. Spiders have licorice ropes. Specters from like in Silent City. I don't know where they're getting the fudge, but they have it.
I don't want to know where they're getting the fudge.
Cotton candy comes off of mummies. I don't know about that one. Yeah, and harpies drop this fruit-flavored
hard candy.
Yeah, it looks like a strawberry. It's kind of cool. Let's see. Nightbloods have red licorice. But, let's see. Who else has... Oh, spiders have licorice rope. And shadow men have licorice candy. I don't know. And us talking about scarecrows, they drop lollipops. I don't know why, but they drop lollipops. Rats have jelly beans. Well, that sort of makes sense. Sort of. I don't know if I'd want to eat anything that came off of a rat, though. Gremlins, they've got gumballs.
Yeah, I don't get why they'd have gumballs.
I don't know either. But some of these, I just don't think I'd want to eat if it came off the creature.
Well, so you're not eating them. You're creating stuff with them.
I know, but still.
See, that's why they have mobs dropping these things, because they don't want you to eat them. They want you to make stuff out of them.
Yeah, but they look so cool. Except for, like, the gummy worms. They look a little disgusting.
They look like earthworms.
And the licorice rope looks like the leather ties that we used to make in crafting. Oh, yeah, chewing gum. Chewing gum comes from vampires, isn't it?
Yep,
they got chewing gum. I guess
why?
That
we're not sure.
It relates to jawbreakers and caramels and other chewy things. Well, like the, you know, sperm with teeth for eating taffy. And I like to know where they get it. Where are they getting this candy to drop in the first place?
Mayong giving it to them.
Wherever the hell they want. Hey, you there, give me your damn candy! Get here! Just don't kill me.
Oh, Lyra's got a bunch she's throwing up in channel. Chocolate buttons. Yeah, she's throwing up in channel. She's throwing up candy in channel.
It's called Link.
You shouldn't eat so much. So how many stacks of illusions have you bought this year?
I got all the new ones. Headless Horseman or Huntsman. I buy 30 of them every time, you know, and stick away. I still have them from last year that I've kept that are all the burn eye and stuff, because I never know if I'm going to need them for filming.
I like the new scarecrows.
Yeah, I do too. They're cool.
I like the Headless Horseman one.
Well, there's Headless Horseman, there's the Scarecrow, there's a ghost. Isn't there a ghost? And
yeah, but
the,
it's human,
the,
though. Makes you a ghost human.
Yeah, yeah. It makes you, I kind of wish it kept you, you know, the same, just turned you into a ghost, you know?
Yeah, the
you
ghost.
You were an undead something the other day, weren't you, hon?
That was a zombie.
You look pretty cool as a zombie. Zombie Ranger.
Those are in Fallen Gate.
Oh, and so people know, because I'm heading there right now anyway. Whoop, damn, I hit the wrong gate potion.
He was.
I hit the wrong gate. If you want to check out the Haunted Forest, Jethel and Elquin proudly present the Haunted Forest. It's in Gorowin, in the six-room house, straight back from the broker. Visit Haunted Forest. I've been getting a lot of good reviews on that.
Kill Hannah.
I'll have to delete one of my alts and check it out, maybe.
Kiliana is in channel asking about the necklace that you get. There's a necklace that you get from the glimmering box in the center, you know, after you've finished the hedge maze and you finished the last guy. And you get this necklace in the glimmering box called the Lost Necklace. And it has two purposes. There it is. The first purpose, of course, is that when the Headless Horseman... the Headless Huntsman or Horseman spawns in Nariak Forest, you give him the necklace, Nictulus Forest, you give him that necklace and he becomes attackable. He is a contested mob, so I guess whoever is the first person to give him the necklace is able to attack him. The second part of having that necklace is you need to go to Sawborn Village in Sawborn Village in Say it for me.
Somborn.
Somborn.
In the Loping Plains. And the building that I want to say, the building next to where the Mender is, to the right of the Mender, I think. It's like a little bar. And then there's a little room in the back of the bar. And there's a guy standing there by a table whose name I've forgotten. Behind him on the floor will be a little puzzle box, a little rare red puzzle box, and it shows up every 5 minutes, stays for 30 seconds, and you can click on it as much as you want, and when you do, you get the fog, you get a fog machine that turns it on and off. You only get one of those, that's lore, and then you get a screecher box. So that's the only other little treat that I know of.
And it does the zombie scream every time somebody gets near it.
Yeah.
I got it right next to the front door of my house.
Yep.
Ah!
So if you... come on down to the Haunted Forest in Gorowin, and you'll see some nice use of fog.
Yep.
I think it did a pretty good
job. I was glad they fixed it, too, for that fog, because that fucker was a pain in the butt before they gave it the off switch. So you could see where it is.
Well, you still can't see where it is. I mean, I turned my fog
some
off.
Some people, I have problems seeing it. You have problems seeing it. Other people can see it when they turn it off. I don't know. Oh, and more than one person can spam that
fog. See it in like one little tiny area rather than spread out.
See, neither I nor Jethel can see it at all. I don't know what it is with our settings. Something in our settings is not allowing us to see it right now. I was playing with it the other day, and I turned up in a room with nothing else in there, and I could not see it.
When you turn off the fog, it's supposed to turn into this glittery cube, but I can only see one per room, and I still can't click on it to move it. That was the whole point of getting the glittery cube, was so you could... it was supposed to make the... It was supposed
you can move
to make,
it without having to pick up.
Right, you're supposed to be able to move the fog bank. And it didn't work. It still doesn't work.
Well, regardless, the fog is cool.
Oh, yes, go. Fog is very cool.
I mean, we can work around it. But I think that is the neatest thing yet. Because you were able to do the Haunted Forest the way you want it. I mean, it's great. Adds an extra spookiness to things.
Yep, I'm down there right now. And when you do come in here, make sure to look for the giant, I would say an ogre-sized skeleton against a brick wall, against a stone wall, and there's a sparkly right in front of it. I recommend you move toward that sparkly.
Well, that and the magic mouths you have in there, too, announce things, too. So if they're paying attention to what's popping up on the screen.
Those magic mouths are kind of fun.
Yeah, they're not what I thought they were going to be, though. What I was really hoping for was, like, signs for your house or your guild hall or wherever, where you can, like, mouse over and then get the pop-up, and you'd be able to customize the pop-up. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was hoping for. These are,
I know a lot of people we had hoping it, they were hoping it was going to be a voiceover.
That's what I thought when they said it was a magic mouth. I go, well, I didn't hear nothing.
Yeah, there were a bunch of people that ran into a guild hall, and they put them up all over the place, and they were hoping that when you walked near it, it was going to say whatever it was supposed to say to you, rather than just show them.
Well, in a way, it does say it. I mean, it's text. But it works, and it's cool. Yes. So what's been your favorite part of Night of the Dead so far, Jethel?
Oh, I just like this time of year in general. You know, love the spooky stuff like that. I mean, I really haven't. Outside of decorating the haunted forest, I really haven't had time to do crap. This weekend, I might go around and do some trick-or-treating before this thing ends.
They have one new mask. It's the wolf.
Yeah, I've seen it.
It moves, too.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, but if they made it so it, like, sank below your shoulders, it'd be one thing, but no.
I don't know. I was wearing it, it seemed sort of, you know, the natural curve of a wolf head, if you were a werewolf.
Well, yeah, but it doesn't match your body at all. That's what I'm saying. It should replace your head, not cover it.
Yeah,
it does look kind of...
fake.
Yeah.
That's the only way, really, I can put it. It looks fake.
Do any of the masks look real? Come on.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Tony and Lucan.
Lucan's still bigger than your body.
Yeah, Antonia and Lucan are still really bigger than your body. The only one that really, really looks good, as far as I'm concerned, you know, usable, that is the black mask.
Everybody likes that one.
And I Jethel wears it all the time.
Just what about the arrow in the head?
The arrow in your head?
I can do without the arrow in the head. That's just a little comedic. I mean, True Flight uses it, and that's fine for him, I suppose.
What about the axe in your skull?
No, I can do without that.
No, the flaming skull one's pretty cool.
That must be new.
No.
No?
It's the skull that you get from the haunted house a long time ago. I think they added something to it.
It
glows green now.
Yeah, there was a mask in the old trick-or-treating one that was, it had a green, like, Ghost Rider-ish kind of flame that went around.
That one's pretty cool. They're all really neat. I like them all. What can I say?
Talk amongst yourselves. I'll give you a topic.
What?
Rocky Horror was not a horror or a rock. Discuss.
Oh, jeez. What was your favorite part so far?
Oh, for this year?
Yeah.
I would have to say the hedge maze.
I liked the hedge maze. It was great.
You have no idea the jokes we played on people just logging in the first day of that when they saw the frictionless piece of eight.
Oh, yeah.
Oh God, that was terrible.
Guild chat.
I saw that the first time and I was like, you know, I'm not in a raiding guild. I'm never going to get anything Uber. And I'm like, oh yes, this must be a rare drop or something. And then I'm looking in my inventory for it. And then I scroll back up and I read. I'm like, "Oh, you bastards!"
Well,
do you read the gnome quest?
What's that?
If you go to the gnome quest and you finish off the quest for the gnome,
mm-hmm.
He says the reason why he's there is he's looking for this really special coin.
Yeah.
And you go, "Well, you've already found it." And he goes, "Damn, that's great." And he goes, "But I dropped it." He goes, "Well, sucks to be you."
Yeah, it's great.
Breed from the Antonia Bale server wants to know if we are going to be covering the rites of vampires and dragons. Well, I think the death rituals of vampires is pretty much falling into a pile of dust and blowing away, or bursting into flame at the first sunrise. that's pretty much it, I think. And
want their ashes spread on the loping plains.
What's that?
That's where they prefer their ashes to be spread, on the loping plains.
Oh, yeah?
They say that when you kill them, spread my ashes across the loping plains.
Huh. All right. Dragons? I don't know. I've seen plenty of dragon skeletons across Norrath. I don't know. Do they do anything special, or do they just pretty much...
I used to go to
Necropolis.
Yes, that was the burial ground for all the dragons.
Yeah, the dragon necropolis.
I remember.
Like the elephant burial ground.
At least one of them was a cannibal.
Dragon burial ground.
Glandekar.
God, I remember my first time in the friggin' dragon's necropolis in EQ1. Some guy recognized my name, and he's like, "Oh my God, can I come up and get a screenshot with you?" This is back when I was...
I was with you that time, too. That was funnier than all get out.
Yeah, I mean, this is back when I was doing... When I was admitting EQRangers.com. And he's like, "Oh my God, can I get a screenshot with you?" He apparently died 5 times on his way to the Dragon's Necropolis just to get a screenshot with me. But he got it.
Well, hey, you're popular.
It was funny.
It was funny.
We just started hanging out with each other too, and I was like, "This is cute."
So there you have it.
I think who was it? Kushahorn on the lore board was saying that dragons have like a suicide that they can do.
I'm sure they want to take out some of us along with them.
It was something like if they live too long, or they just get tired of being alive, they throw themselves in some kind of chasm or something that's filled with fire and incinerate them.
I remember reading something on that, but I can't tell you where or what. But that sounds about right.
Speaking of dead dragons, is anybody interested in what may happen with Vox? What the rumors have been stating about what's going on with Vox and the new dragon that we're supposed to be seeing soon?
What's the rumors? The dragon that we let loose at Frostfell is an ice dragon like Vox.
Ooh.
Yeah, and we're supposed to see it again. Now, if you go into the Obelisk of Blight and you read the scrolls in there about the text, the Shattered Men were trying to capture Wuxi. And their plan for this was, we have a device that we think can transfer souls of dragons. What we're going to do is we're going to let this other dragon who's looking for a way to restore his lost mate find this thing. And when he uses it, if it works, we're going to take it back. Now, what dragon do we know of who's actively looking to restore his lost mate?
Nagavel.
Uh-huh. And what dragon do we just release that, you know... If he did get his hands on this device, would make a perfect host for Vox.
Wuxi.
No, that little snow dragon we let loose.
The Frostbud dragon. So right. Some people have guessed that maybe an event with that new dragon, because supposedly one of the developers said that we'll see it again, and they grow really fast. So maybe we see a Vox reborn.
Could be. I'm getting tired.
You are.
I'm just old.
I wonder what they're going to do with our lycanthropy curse now. Because we're all lichens now.
What?
If you do the hollow head mace, you are a lycanthrope now.
Yes, true. We've all been bitten.
I blame Tamriel, that werewolf girl. No one's coming to the haunted forest.
Last year, see, we did the haunted mage in Loping Plains, and the fight in the mirror, when you beat that fight, it says you've removed the curse from yourself.
Mm. Right.
This year, we don't get that option.
Don't see you're that happening.
And when you kill them, your curse is gone too. You come back to the shaman and say, well, hell, you knew we had to kill him. Why did you send us in there to get bit and turn into a lycanthrope too? And she's like, oh, you'll find out eventually.
Oh, thanks. Appreciate it.
So we're all cursed.
Damn it!
Did you read the text in, when you go to get the Vampire Lore and Legend book? You talk to the spirit of the vampire that you killed? And he says, what was it? You seeing yourself in the mirror was only the shroud covering the evil one's plans.
Yes. He still has to get the lore and legend. We gotta go back and.
Yong is up to now.
I've got to still do that. I mean, I've got the book, but I haven't started in.
Saved up from doing the bloodline for my silver. You have to inspect 20 of them. You just inspect 20 fangs and then kill vampires for the auto updates.
Oh, I've got the fangs. Cool.
And you get the book and the trophy is Mayong Mistmore quoting, ah! Take. I have it probably mounted on my wall.
I'll have to finish that then. I've been kind of busy doing the haunted maze and stuff.
Oh, did you guys see on the boards about the bugged Mayong Inner Sanctum encounter?
No.
No, I haven't heard about that.
Oh, that was hilarious.
And that's apparently, the big one.
There's apparently a bug where if you pulled Mayong near the wall, one of his vampire adds would spawn outside of the zone. And when it did that, it would bug out and you would get a spawn like every 0.2 seconds.
Ooh.
That's not good.
They had a screenshot of a picture of a raid and there's nothing. The whole screen is nothing but a little green text of a vampire minion. You can't even see Mayong or the raid force.
Oh my god.
Lovely. Kind of reminds me of that bug that was going on in the Plane of Storms back in EQ1. The friggin' giants at one particular house kept spawning. And
wasn't that the frost giant one?
I think so. There was a frost giant house there, and you didn't dare go near the thing. It was just
because it would be packed with nothing but the frost giants in there.
Giants on top of frost giants on top of it. It was, you couldn't count how many giants there were.
It was fun to get close enough and train them all out. You just see this huge train.
Oh, yeah, go in there, train them all out, just be this flood of blue giant going across. Not that you'd make it very far.
I never ran into that bug, fortunately.
You've got a screenshot of it somewhere, hon. I know you do.
Yeah.
Nope, never ran into that one.
Yeah, it was definitely not funniest, that building.
The funniest encounter I ever had in EQ1 was at one of my friend's expenses, and that was Gornair. And her hatred of illusions. That had to be like my favorite little mishap.
What was up with Gornair?
We were in the Dreadlands. We were just mass pulling in the Dreadlands. And our enchanter friend put up her imp illusion. The one that gave you the extra mana regen or something with it, or proc or something.
Mm-hmm.
And Gornair hates illusions. Gornair comes walking by, walks over to the enchanter, kills the enchanter, and leaves the rest of us alone and walks on.
Nice.
Because we all flipped out. We panicked when we saw Gornair's little frontal cone show up.
Right.
And Tanner dies, and then Gornair deaggroes and just walks off down the hall.
That is pretty funny.
There were a lot of fun little things that would occur in EQ1 that you couldn't really duplicate them. I remember our same Tanner friend drowning a ranger.
You drowned a ranger?
Yes, she was Lake Wrath here. This ranger decided to test his mettle and challenged the enchanter to a duel. The enchanter G-fluxed him. He landed in the water, and she just mezzed him and mezzed him and mezzed him till he drowned.
Oh my god, that's terrible.
Nice.
That's rotten.
It's funny, though. Might have to do that in this game sometime. Just challenge a ranger and duel him and drown him.
Well, hon, you can always just put on music.
Yeah. Just running out of stuff to talk about here.
We're dying. The subject's dead. Sorry. We're burying it tonight.
Just the way it goes.
What do you think happens to the Void Men?
They return from whence they came.
Do they just go? They become part of the Void again?
I would think so.
I think so.
I wonder if some of the races like the Night Bloods and the Graphok that we know were from possessed races, previously twisted races. I wonder if they turn back into what they used to be. That'd be kind of interesting.
I think once they get turned, that's it. I don't see any redemption for them.
So what are your thoughts on Fear?
I mean, Dark Elves were...
Or he's a good guy.
I mean, Dark Elves were twisted, basic twisted versions of what High Elves used, you know, of High Elves. But when they die, they don't turn back into a High Elf.
Yeah, but that was divine intervention. He dissected them and reformed them into Tyrdal. These things were corrupted by void energy. Although there's some freaky shit that they do. Did you read that? There's a book, or was it one of the lore excerpts that talks about a town that's possessed by the void men. And what they would do to make those void shadow things, the tri-legged creatures with little red eyes, is they would hang somebody against this special wall, and their shadow on the wall would become the little void thingy. When they died.
Don't think I ever heard that one.
It was some adventurer. The story was an adventurer walked into a town and found this really cute girl, and they were, you know, they were talking and having a good time, and she warns him to leave the town, get the hell out of here. He refuses, and that's what happens to her. The townspeople walk her out to this special place, a special stone with a noose. They hang her, and then her shadow moves and leaves the wall. And becomes one of these creatures.
I was unaware of such things.
Although, another note for the death thing, you all guys remember doing the dwarven work boots?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
You noticed that, Hwal Ruxtiff is going to be the next person affected by the curse of Garmel.
What's that now?
Hwal Ruxtiff, the guy that gives us that quest, is going to be the next one affected by the curse. The Ruxtiff curse.
Yes.
I always found that amusing, all that crap he makes you go through. Yeah, I'm going to get yours in the end, buddy.
Give me your... You're cursed.
Yeah, he's going to turn into another one of those rampaging ghosts.
Yay!
With no more spell... Well, with no boots, because we got them.
I got the new boots, too. The reinforced version.
Wonder how many boots he's gone through. Over the years.
A lot of freaking boots.
He always gives the one he's wearing to the adventurer.
Yeah, he gives the old pair he's wearing to you and the new pair he makes for himself.
Nice.
Well, no, you make those boots for him. I mean,
yeah,
that guy...
Boots. He's like, oh, well, here are my old boots. The reinforced ones aren't too bad, though. especially if you're harvesting.
Easier to kick up the dirt clods.
Yeah.
Plus, like, I think it's like plus $5 or $10 to all your skills for wearing them. I'm sure I'm going to be putting those on and running around in the new expansion. There was a point out that if you do the new LON scenarios and you go through the scenarios, all the Void Men use almost nothing but Erudites as their units. Void Men and Erudites.
Hmm.
People are thinking, like I'm thinking, that the Quel'Thulians are void possessed erudites.
Well, that could be a possibility.
And you know, we're building the spires with void energy.
Yeah, that's true.
Damn you, erudites!
That was so interesting. You walk up to the one guy and he's like, oh, I need to get this Kaborite to the spires, to build the spires. You're like, what the hell's Kabor? And he goes, what do you think all those void shards were that you were bringing us?
Ugh.
Like, you jackasses!
You tricked us!
We've been fighting this thing for centuries. It tries to consume our planet and you want to use it to build spires with.
That's it. The Erudites are the ones that blew up Luckland. I know it now. You know, you don't see a whole lot of Uranites. Not on the Utonia Mail server. Okay. Not many.
You didn't see a whole bunch of them in EQ1 either, because they were not a very attractive race.
But at least in EQ1, you know, the girls had big tits. So, you know, they had that going. Not an
that EQ, is.
Not an EQ2.
Nah. No.
Oh, well.
Of course, they can get those robes with the Wonder Bras built into them.
No kidding, huh?
Wonder Robes.
All right.
Of course, Robe does that too, actually.
Okay, well, I think we're going to end off the show with the rest of the Gentle Horror Silverwing music. Have any shout-outs? Anyone you want to say hi to before we end off here?
No, not particularly.
To hell with them all, you say, huh?
Well, I would say, you know, grats on Pillage for, you know, completing another raid night.
Mm-hmm.
But that's pretty much it.
Oh. Elkman, anyone you want to shout out to?
Just everybody in the Legacy of Githacor and
really?
A surgeon.
Really, who is this Legacy of Githacor?
Legion of Githacor. Jeez, give me a break tonight, will you? We were the Legacy of Githacor, too,
Legacy,
you know.
Alright, of course I want to give a shout out to all the members of the Legion of Kithacor, folks over at the Maiden's Fancy, folks at the Claymore, folks over at the Raven Mythic, and Saya's Hammer, which is probably where I'm going to be heading next, I'm not sure. I think we've got to go hit the hot tub first, though. What do you think about hot tub, hon?
It sounds good.
Hot tub sounds good, alright. This has been the Jethel Silverwing Show for, what the hell is today, the 27th of
October.
October 27th, 2009. The Jethel Horror Silverwing Show. We're going to end off with some music here. And y'all have a good night and enjoy your holiday weekend.
From the day he was born, he was trouble. He was the thorn in his mother's side. She tried in vain, but he never gave her nothing but shame. He loved home the day she died. From the day she was gone, all he wanted was rock and roll porn. Only more than I shooting up junk. He was a low-down, cheap little punk.
taking everyone for the ride.
Well, and he said he did it like his daddy, you knew he was a no good kid. Already back in July with a switchblade knife.
What a guy!
Make you cry!
And I did.
Everybody loved him. I very nearly loved him. I said, hey, listen to me. Stay safe inside insanity. But he locked the door and threw away the key.
But he must have been drawn into something, making him warn me, and it knows which leads.
What's it say? What's it say?
Well, I'm out of my head. Oh, hurry, or I may be dead. They mustn't carry out their evil deeds.
When Eddie said he did it like his daddy, you knew he was a no good kid. But when he threatened your life with a switchblade knife,
what a guy!
He cried.
And I did.
When Eddie said he did it like his daddy, you knew he was a no good kid. But when he threatened your life with a switchblade knife,
what a guy!
Makes you cry.
And I did.
I'm a bee with a deadly sting. You take a hit and your mind goes pang.
Cause the party and the sounds are gone. We're gonna sing it till the love has gone. Rolls to my world, you'll be saved from the trouble and pain. You think a hit and your mind goes peng. Your heart pumping, your blood will sting. So let the party and the sounds are gone. Jump singing till the man has gone, gone, gone. Rose in the world, keep you safe from the trouble and pain.
Day I went away.
Goodbye
was all I had to say.
Now I
want to come again and stay.
Oh my.
Smile and that will mean I may. Been the same.
Feeling
like I'm outside in the rain.
Feeling
free to try and find the game.
Feeling
cards for sorrow, cards for pain.
Thank you.
to taste the flesh, not yet deceased, and all I know is still the beast is
and crawling on the planet's face, some insects called the human race, lost in time, but lost in space.
Double feature. Frank has built and lost his creature. Darkness has conquered Brad and Janet. The servant's gone to a distant planet. Ho, 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 ho. At the late night double feature picture show, I wanna go.
Well, all right, that's it for this week's episode of the Jethel Silverwing Show. I'm your host, Jethel Silverwing.
I'm the Drunken Dwarf!
And I'm Cheesy Nibblebuns!
Online Gaming Radio is a proud member of the ZAM Network. Our producer is D Pockets. Our technical advisor is Spike Link Death. Facts and Intelligence brought to us by the Grassy Knoll. Our spiritual advisor is Al Kilholic. Sensitivity Seminars by Mandy Feldersnatch. And noted contributions by Three Badgers, Two Giant Rats, A 4-Pound Jar of Jelly Beans, Package of Expired Twinkies, and A Small Rock.
Yay, rock!
Be sure to catch our show every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, at some ungodly hour in the U.K. So, for the Drunken Dwarf, Cheez-It, and my love, El Quinjena, keep your arrows in the air and your feet on the ground.